ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. What happened to Rishikesh? Went off to Siskin Loose, it seems. Siskin Loose? Hare Krishna. The next name, going to go through in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, his name 106, 119, Shreyas Sriman. It's Shreyas Sriman. Or some of the commentators, particularly it's mentioned here, Sri Shankaracharya takes this as two names, Shreya or Shreyas and Sriman. Shreya means that which is for the highest good, the ultimate good, that which is most auspicious. this discussion of Shreyas and Prayas came in the Kathopanishad when the Yamaraj, speaking to Nachiketa, spoke about what is the ultimate good compared to that which is the immediate good, that which seems immediately good. Srila Prabhupada discussed this several times. One example he gave is that the child doesn't want to go to school, the child likes to play all day. So that's what he likes to do, and he gets immediate pleasure from that. But he has to go to school even though he doesn't like to do so for his long-term benefit. So of course that wasn't the context in which Yamaraj spoke to Nachiketa. But it's an example. The idea is that in human life we can act for sense gratification, gross or subtle, or both. Or we can act for our ultimate good, which means on the spiritual platform. So the ultimate good is Krishna, Shreya Shri, he Sriman. Sriman means who possess man. This suffix it means when it's suffixed, means put on. It, you know what suffix means? Yeah, okay. You're just thinking how to say it in Telugu or what? No? When it's suffixed with another noun, with a noun, then it means the person who has that quality. Sriman. Hanuman. Hanuman means he's got a big chin, big jaw. For instance, Buddhiman. One who has got intelligence. So, Shreya Sriman means he who has her who bestows all auspiciousness. That other people go to her, to Lakshmi, for getting something good. People want money. Pious people who want money, they approach Lakshmi, Dhana Lakshmi. There are different forms, Dhana Lakshmi, Dhanya Lakshmi, Gaja Lakshmi, and so on. Different. So people approach her because they want something, but he already has her, as discussed in the previous name, Shrikara. He has her in his hand. She's always with him. Otherwise she's Chanchala. For people who try to get her, they never get her, but they may get a little of her mercy in the form of material boons, but they don't get her in the same way that Narayan gets her. She's always with him. And for others, they may appear to be, people in this world, they may appear to be Sriman, they may appear to have some opulence, but it's all temporary. It's not, they don't actually have it at all. First of all, the tiny little bit of opulence they have is nothing compared to that of the Supreme Lord. It's not really opulence at all, because it's cause of everything in this world, which we take to be of something which will bring our happiness, actually brings distress. And it's all very temporary anyway. It's something like, if you see some light shining in the cloud, sometimes you see the sun shining in the cloud, you say, oh, it looks very beautiful, doesn't it? But then the cloud is changing, the angle of the sun is changing, in a short time it's gone forever. So like that. It may appear to be very beautiful, but it's only some temporary manifestation of the material energy. Whereas with him, Krishna, he is always full in all transcendental qualities. In this material world, if anyone has any wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, or renunciation, you may think, well, that's very good. Bhagavan, Sriman, Van, Man, they both have the same suffix, has the same usage. But in this material world, if anyone gets any of these things, they simply cause distress. Unless they're engaged in the service of Krishna. But with Krishna, do they cause him happiness? Not exactly, because Krishna's Atmaram, he's fully satisfied in himself. But these opulences, which are non-different from him, they're manifestations of, they're not exactly causes of his happiness. He himself is the cause of all happiness, including his own happiness. He's sarva-karana-karanam. There's nothing external which brings Krishna happiness. It's not that he needs something from outside to be happy. But then all these opulences, they are manifestations of his internal potency as personified in Sri Lakshmi. So it's his swarup shakti. It's his energy which is of his own very being. So it's not that it's something external to him. The example is given that Krishna, what is that, of a mirror? He's taking pleasure in himself. Someone may look in a mirror and take pleasure in themselves. So Krishna, whatever he does, it's simply taking pleasure in himself. Of course, foolish people like to look in mirrors and think, I look so nice. To themselves, they look nice. They think they look nice. Krishna also, is given in, what is that? Vidagdha Madhava, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, of how Vasudev, Krishna in Dwarka, he sees in the pillar, because the pillars in the palaces in Dwarka are made of such gems that they're like natural mirrors. So Krishna saw himself and said, oh, I look so beautiful. Oh, really, I am really very beautiful. And so he desired to be in a position where he could appreciate that beauty all the time. So that position he took as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. in Drigdrisha Vichar, he became the seer of Krishna's beauty. So, Shreya Shri, she is the one, the Shri of all. It's almost a redundancy to say Shreya Shri, because Shri who has all opulences, but Shri already means who has all opulences. But it's just a way of emphasizing it. So people who want that which is auspicious, they approach her. And of course, different people have different ideas of what's auspicious. So those who are really intelligent, they approach her for the best gift which she can give, which is pure love of Krishna, of which she is the overseer of that. And others will say they approach her for giving moksha. One can get free. The real idea, people think of moksha, yeah, I have to get free from suffering in the material world. But the real thing is to get free from ignorance. The ignorance of considering myself to be separate from Krishna. And then one is free from that ignorance, and then automatically one is freed from the suffering of this material world. Even if one remains within this material world, one doesn't suffer. The real thing is to concentrate on increasing our spirit of loving service to Krishna, and then automatically one becomes liberated. Yaha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikilasya pyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Even in this world, even without leaving this world and going to the spiritual state beyond it, someone who is absorbed mind and body and words in the service of Krishna in all circumstances is said to be or is known to be liberated in this very lifetime. And is not subject to the threefold conditions of misery, although he may appear to be, but is because his consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, he doesn't identify with this body and mind, which is the all suffering comes from identification with the body and mind. So Lakshmi, the various demigods, they worship her, saintly people, they worship her, people who are enamored, grossly enamored by the material energy, they worship her in the form of Durga, her external manifestation. They may also worship her as some village deity. You probably have in this Telugu speaking here, village deities, goddesses. They're all manifestations of Durga, who's the material nature. People worship a river, a hill. These are all manifestations of nature. So this is getting on the lower scale to worship. But it's to worship these various manifestations of nature. But it's all actually worship of Radha, but it's getting more and more removed from the original conception of worship of Radha. That when that becomes perverse, then one worships Durga for the sake of material gain. Instead of worshipping Radha for the sake of serving Krishna, one worships Durga with the aim that, oh, she's my mother, so let her serve me. Yeah, she should become for my enjoyment. And we find that with the Vrikasura, who took a benediction, a boon from Lord Shiva, that whoever's head he touched, that person's head would immediately shatter and die, and that person would die. So immediately he thought, okay, I'll kill Lord Shiva and then I'll enjoy Durga. This is the mentality of the materialistic people. They want to take gifts from God so that they can enjoy this world. And there are ways of doing that which are considered godly. The demigods, they're materialistic also, but they recognize that Krishna is supreme. They don't think that I can become supreme. But the demons, they see the whole material nature, they see the whole universal setup, and they think, how can I manipulate it for my own personal interests. But they don't get Shreyashri. They don't get the really auspicious benefit that comes from purified persons who worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the possessor of all auspicious qualities, and those auspicious qualities, they are manifest and personified in both himself and in his consort, Shri. So he's Sriman, he possesses all wealth, power, beauty, knowledge, fame, renunciation. All these names, been through the last few names, in various ways, from various angles, they all cover the name Sriman. In various ways, they give that meaning. Now, yeah, let's just see what Baladev Vidyabhushan says about this, our Gaurya Vaishnav commentator on Shreya Sriman. Shreya should be distinguished from prayer. I'll get through to that. Yeah, Shreya should be distinguished from prayer. That Shreya, he is that which is actually good. And prayer means that which appears to be good, but that which is not actually good. He is the goal and the way also. In the Bible it said, Jesus is said to have said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So it should be understood that actual Shreya is in Krishna. The jnanis and the yogis, they take it to be the goal to become liberated from this material world. That's what they think is Shreya. But that's just the beginning. To get free from material contamination is just the beginning. It's not the end in itself. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavang mang prapadyate vasudeva saramiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, Krishna says. Knowing me to be everything, Vasudeva Savara, such a great soul is very rare. Now, if they're jnanis, why does it take such a long time to understand? They're not really jnanis at all. They're called jnani because they think that they know something. And they do know something. They know that I'm not this body. Material enjoyment should be shunned. It's not actual enjoyment at all. Well, that's pretty advanced compared to most people, but they didn't really get the point. They're in the platform of Maya Aparita Jnana. They know something, but they don't know it well enough because they don't surrender to Krishna. So they're in the category of someone who knows but doesn't really know properly at all. Baladev Vidyabhushan. He gives, there's another meaning of Shreya Sriman. One whose beauty is superlative. So all the things that decorate him, his crown, his armlets, his jewels, his necklace, his lockets, and all, they're all superlative. There's no comparison with that. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives a similar meaning. He is very handsome. They're very beautiful. Krishna is very beautiful. And he always remains by the side of Srimati Radharani, his internal pleasure, potency. Now, I want to discuss this word Shreya in a little detail. It's a very important word. This discussion in Kathopanishad. What is Shreya and what is prayer? Shreya means that which is for our eternal benefit, and prayer means that which seems to be for our benefit, but it is so only on a short-term basis, which means it's not really for our benefit at all. For instance, how about this? Powdered glass mixed with mango juice. tastes great. Mango juice, put a little sugar in if it's not quite the season yet. Tastes great, but it's got powdered glass in it, which means it's going to cause you intense pain in a short time and possibly kill you also. If you want to kill someone, that's one way to do it. At least give them a lot of suffering. I'm not running a class here on how to kill people. There are hundreds and thousands of ways of doing that. But it's just to give an example that just for a short time it tastes very nice, but once the powdered glass gets in your stomach and starts cutting up everything inside, there's nothing you can do to stop it except maybe to vomit, self-induced vomit. So it's immediately very beneficial, but ultimately it's a cause of suffering. And that's the whole story of this material world. Yehi sang sparshaja bhoga dukha yonya evite adyandavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. The whole material world means the endeavor to enjoy the senses by bringing them in contact with the sense objects. But it simply causes distress. In the beginning, when you're thinking about it, then the mind is agitated. When you're actually doing it, and the end results. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't endeavor for that. So Shreya, we should be interested in Shreya, that which is for the ultimate benefit. We'll find this word comes up quite a lot in Bhagavad Gita. Nahi, what is that? Nacha Shreyo Nupashami, Arjuna says, being very intelligent, he said to Krishna that I don't see in this fighting that any good can come from it. Nacha Shreyo. There may be some prayer, okay, we'll win the kingdom. Yeah, we won the kingdom. But what will be the actual benefit? Arjuna, in his tremendous intelligence, tells Krishna, come on, let's think about it a bit more deeply. He became the guru of Krishna. He thought he would instruct Krishna. So, we find this word Shreya. It comes several times in Bhagavad Gita. Nahi prapashyami, what is that? Nahi prapashyami. Mama apunadhyadhyad chokamuchoshyam indriyana. No, it's not in that verse. Anyway, one of them. So again, Arjuna says, where's the Shreya? Where's the ultimate benefit? Again in Gita, twice Krishna says, Shreyohi, what is that? Shreyohi. Shreyosva dharma vigana. Paradhamat svanushti. One should follow one's own, for ultimate benefit, one should follow one's own dharma, not try to imitate someone else. Someone might be good at doing someone else's duty, but it won't lead to the ultimate good result. That's even on the material platform. So what is Shreya? Ultimate Shreya is Krishna, devotion to Krishna. So there's one verse which Lord Brahma spoke, directly speaking to Krishna, a well-known verse. Shreya shrutim bhakti mudasyate vibho klishyanti ye kevala bodha labdhye te shamasao kleshala eva shishyate nanyad yatas thula tu shavaghati nam. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. It's the real path of Shreya, that which is for our long-term good. If we think of long-term good, we may think that, okay, let's build a house with bricks. It's better than building it out of grass, because it's of long-term benefit. But even then, it's temporary. So it's longer-term good, but not ultimate good. So Shreya means the ultimate good, highest good. So devotional service to Krishna is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk cannot get grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble. So trying to get benefit from anything except pure devotional service to Krishna, it's likened to beating empty husks. You've seen piles of empty husks. From a distance you can't tell. Even if you come quite close, you can't tell whether it's husk with grain inside or not. Of course, if there's a little wind, the husks will start to blow here and there. Very light. Very light, very insubstantial. There's nothing there. Of course, the cows can eat it. But it looks the same, but there's no grain inside. So to separate the grain from the husk, you have to thresh it. In English is the word threshing. So that's what you do. Whatever the word is in Telugu, that's what you do to it in English. I mean, you use some kind of beating process. Beating process, which is especially applied to grains, is called threshing in English. So when you thresh it, the grain comes out. And then you have to separate the grains from the chaff. Chaff is another word for empty husk. Busha in Hindi or Bengali. Probably in Sanskrit. And there are various ways of doing that. Because it's very light, you can go like this with a shurpa. Shurpa means shurpanaka. She has a nose like this threshing basket, you could call it. Can't imagine what that looks like, actually, but she must have been pretty ugly. So, it's quite an endeavor to do so, but then to beat the grains, and you probably have to eat some grains to get enough strength to do that. But when it's done, then it's done. You can't do it again. You may think, well, I put in so much effort and I separated the husk from the grain, so maybe if I put in some more effort, I'll get some more grain. Just like with squeezing sugar cane, first of all, you put it in the press. You just put it through very easily, a little sugar comes out. Second time, you have to a little bit strain. The third time, what happened here? Hare Krishna, how are we doing? Sounds okay to me. The third time you put the sugar cane in the press, you have to squeeze a bit, and then you go for a... The first time, the juice just comes out very easily. Second time, a bit more effort and less juice. Third time, quite a lot of effort and not much juice. And then you see that... Nowadays they just use a machine. It's done with a generator or something like that. Then the next time, fold it over. It's so thick. Push it in the machine. And they get a few drops from all that. They probably sweat out more than the juice that comes out. And then they go on and on and on. And then even they throw it on the side of the street, and the cows come and try to get something. Yeah. So you might think, okay, If we go on squeezing the sugar cane, it might be more effort, but we'll get some more sugar. So, very logical here, we beat the husk and the grain came out. Okay, it came out. So if we beat some more, then some more will come out. We have to beat more strongly. So you already beat it quite a lot, and the husk separated from the grain. So let's beat it more, and more will come out, but... Stupid. No one does that. No one does that. But you'd have to be pretty stupid to even think like that. Stupid means you don't know what's going on. You just don't know. You're in ignorance. It's like someone who thinks that, let's plant a pineapple tree. We really put some pineapple trees on the farm here. Good idea? You're looking a bit confused there. Would you like to have a pineapple tree on this farm? What do you think? Good idea? There's a major problem with that proposition, that pineapples don't grow on trees. There's no such thing as a pineapple tree. So, if you don't know, you might think it's a good idea. And years ago in Udupi, someone gave me a pineapple. I said, pineapple? Where did that come from? And he didn't expect it. And then one of the devotees there, he was a student, said, oh, the person gave it. It came from his own tree. I said, oh, very interesting. Huh? Very interesting. How did I know? You didn't know. Right? You thought, I said pineapple tree, and yeah, I caught you there. You didn't know. How do I? Because I saw so many pineapples in Bangladesh growing on this, here and there, not on trees. It's something, the plant looks a bit like this aloe vera plant, a little bit like that, which grows here and there. And I remember our devotees, they came back from Tripura to Mayapur. This is in the 1970s. And you have to drive a long way on the roads, which are very rough. And saying, oh, you can get pineapples there for 25 paisa each. And in Calcutta, there'll be so many. Because there's so many grow there, and where's the market to sell them? There's only the local market. So, anyway, talking about pineapples is not for our Shreya, just using it as an example. That someone who doesn't take up bhakti, they're not acting for their own Shreya. It's like someone beating the husk, which is already husked. Just stupid. There are different kinds of stupidity. One kind of stupidity is you just don't know. Someone could come and make a proposition to Sri Krishna Kumar before he heard this class that, oh, I heard you have a farm there. We have these great, I've developed this great strain of pineapple trees, which they grow in a climate where there's very little rain, and just sign the contract here, 25 lakhs. Oh, okay. He signs the contract for pineapple trees and loses 25 lakhs. So that's one kind of stupid. Stupid because you don't know. You can't be blamed so much because everybody can't know everything. In fact, no one can know everything except anyone who can know everything. Who's that? Krishna. His name is Sarvajna, another name in this Vishnu Sahasranama. Another kind of stupidity is to knowingly do something which is against your own benefit. Now that's really stupid, isn't it? Just like, for instance, you get a hammer and beat yourself on the head. Why would you do that? It gives intense pain. I never heard of anyone doing it. I'm just giving it as an example. Here's a more pertinent example, a very common one. People smoking cigarettes. Why would they do that? Where it says on the packet, the Surgeon General has attained that smoking cigarettes can cause serious damage to health. They have some kind of, they have different messages on the packets in English, and they different messages, and that's a very roundabout. And in the end, they just put smoking kills. And still people smoke. And that's part of the fun, I guess. They think, very tough. You say I'm smoking a cigarette and it kills you, but I'm smoking it anyway. Some foolishness. That's an example of how people knowingly, they take their own interest to be this health of the body, but then they smoke cigarettes, which causes bad health. So there's an example of people acting against their own self-interest. Janiya shunya bisha kainu, that is Nirottam Das says, Manusha hari hari bifale janama gawainu, Manusha janama paya radha krishna na bhajiya, Janiya shunya bisha kainu. He says that, Oh my Lord Hari, I've uselessly passed my life having got this human form of life. I didn't worship Radha and Krishna, so knowingly I've drunk poison. Why would anyone act against their own self-interest? In the Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, he brings up this point when Shukdev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that to get free from sinful reactions, you have to do atonement, prayaschitta, atonement for sins. And then Parikshit Maharaj pointed out, well, that's not really the solution, because you see that people act for their own ahita. Hita means benefit, and ahita means non-benefit. And Parikshit Maharaj gave the example of a thief. He knows that if he gets caught, and there's a good chance of him getting caught, then he'll have to suffer severely. I was just listening to a lecture when Srila Prabhupada was discussing this verse. He said, and he knows it's wrong, otherwise why does he come at night very quietly? He doesn't want to get caught. He knows that it's a great risk, but somehow he thinks... Anyway, he's been thrown in prison several times, beaten by the police, but still he goes on stealing. Why does he? And Srila Prabhupada gave another example of a patient. He gets sick. He has to spend so much, he suffers so much, has to spend so much on doctor's fees. And he has to, but then again, the doctor says, okay, from now on you don't eat this, 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 and this. You don't do. But still he does. He likes to eat such and such a food, and again he gets sick. So even knowingly, and there are many other examples, I just thought of one more. That someone, a gambler, he's doing gambling, throwing money away in gambling, and he knows that when you go into the casino, at first they'll let you win. Then after, they'll let you win one time, two times, then you become more enthusiastic and put more money, and then they make you lose 10 times, then win one time and lose 10 times, and then you go out, all your money's finished. But again he'll go. Why does he do it? He knows that it's not for my own good. But still, why is that? Well, the ultimate question, Krishna, Arjuna asked Krishna the same question. Ata kena prayukta yam papam charati purishaha anicchan api varshnaya baladiva neyojaya. Why do we do bad things? Why do people do bad things? Why do they do sinful activities? Even against their own desire, it seems, as if they're compelled by force. And Krishna answered, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhavaha, mahashana maha papma, vidye nam iha vayurnam. Krishna said, it is due to lust, material desire, which is transformed into wrath. Kama esha, produced of rajoguna, the mode of passion. It burns like it's very sinful, it burns like a great fire in the heart. And it is the, you should know it to be the great enemy. So Arjuna was thinking, should we fight with these enemies, the Kauravas? And Krishna said, well, the real enemy is the material desire in our own heart. So due to very strong material desires, people act against their own self-interest. Now, we're discussing the name Shreya, Shreya Shri. He who is actual auspiciousness, then why doesn't everyone worship him if they can get the highest benefit from doing so? Now, there's a very important explanation of this by Prahlad Maharaj, who spoke to the personification of non-Krishna consciousness. That was Hiranyakashipu. He told him, non-Krishna consciousness or anti-Krishna consciousness, Matena Krishna Parata Svatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhya Vishatanta Bisrang Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam. Prahlad also said to his father, Hiranyakashipu, that persons like you are determinedly not going to be Krishna conscious. They may ponder in their mind over philosophy, but they're not going to come to Krishna. They may discuss with other learned people, but there's a mutual unspoken convention, even before they start to speak, that, okay, let's talk about philosophy, but no God, no God, no, no God, no. Even if there's God, there's no Krishna. So, Paratasvato. Why do they do that? Because their ultimate goal of life is to enjoy the senses uncontrollably. And if you say, well, you'll go to hell for that, okay, let me go to hell, but let's enjoy. So all this so-called philosophy, it's all just a big excuse for enjoying the senses. And why do they do that? And now I'm coming to this verse. Prahlad said, Nate vidu swartha gating hi vishnum durasha ye bahiratamani ninaste pisha tantramu ridamni badha. Oh, andaya tandaya rupaniyamanaste pisha tantramu ridamni badha. The translation given by Srila Prabhupada, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. Sorry, I should have given you a printout previously. Would have made things easier. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch. Do you know this verse? You must be familiar with this. Srila Prabhupada quotes it in the Gita introduction and so many places. Materially attached men led by another material attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. This is very technical language. I would imagine that people who have not systematically studied Srila Prabhupada's books or who haven't associated with devotees, they'd have a hard time to understand what this means. Let's say, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life. Most people, the words in English are not difficult to understand. Persons is an easy word to understand. Strongly entrapped is material, easy to understand. The word consciousness is a common word. Exactly what it means is a big topic. But put together, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, unless you've discussed such subjects with devotees, most people they won't be able to understand it. It's really a whole scholarly field in itself, even though Srila Prabhupada, he gave all these topics in simple English language, but the concepts are, they're actually very deeply philosophical. The whole idea that we're entrapped in this material world, most people don't have that understanding at all. What is the trap? It's a matter of our consciousness traps us. What is the consciousness that we want to enjoy material life? So it's very deep subject matter. This is very important to understand. As Krishna is Shreya, he is the ultimate good for everyone. Then why don't people accept him? They don't accept him. Matena Krishna, that verse I just said. But they're in hope of enjoying this material world. That in itself is a big talk. I want to come back to that later and talk on that. Durashaya. So this word swart. Yeah, you all know the word, right? It's a common word in Indian languages. And it's generally not thought of as being a very good word. Is it in Telugu also? In English, it translates into selfishness. Instead of being pararta nishta, pararta is the opposite of swartha. Do you use that word in Telugu also, pararta? I'm not talking about parartas that you cook and aloo parartas, not that, but pararta. is acting for the benefits of others. Again, Prahlad Maharaj said, naparata nishta. He referred to persons who are monang charanti. They simply accept silence. Persons who are interested in their own spiritual uplift, but not interested in the spiritual uplift of others. So he says they are not pararta nishta. They're not concerned with the uplift of others. So swarthi, swarthabhilashi, someone who's very selfish. It's a common word, but it's not a good word. Why is that? Because of the desire for one's own self-interest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur portraying himself as such a person. He describes himself as nija sukha lagi pape nahi dori doya hina swarthapar. So swarthapar means attached to one's own self-interest. Here, swarth is defined as one's own self-interest. How I will enjoy this material world, particularly by, then you have to exploit others. Whereas pararta nishta means you're interested, you'll put your own self-interest in the background and act for the benefit of others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, nija sukha lagi, for the sake of my own happiness, pape nahi dori, I wasn't afraid of committing any sins. This is what happens. Doyahina became merciless. This is, if one puts one's own self-interest, defined as sense gratification first, then you don't care for any sin. And you don't care what you do. You may mistreat others. And practically the whole human society is going on like that. You'll find that people become all upset that they found someone's corrupt, he stole so much money from the Punjab National Bank, and that's ultimately from the Indian taxpayers, or someone beat his wife, or the wife beats the husband. And no, actually a husband beating the wife is not good, but the wife beating the husband is okay, because he must have done something, that he deserved it, right? Anyway, the husband beats the wife. So it's not good. Very bad. So, but the whole society is based on giving pain to others. Meat eating. How much pain is given to others? How much pain is given? In Hyderabad has the great distinction of having the largest slaughterhouse in the whole of Asia, which was opened, Garv Sekar Hall, opened proudly in the first BJP or second BJP government of Atal Bihari Vajpayee. They opened the world's largest mechanized slaughterhouse. So slaughterhouses, if anywhere in India, if you drive outside the cities, after a few kilometers you're going to see a poultry farm, isn't it? Every few kilometers, with every poultry farm means thousands of chickens being tortured from the moment of their birth until they're killed. So the whole society, why? Because we have chicken tikki. We like to eat, it's famous in England. Is it tikki or tikki? I don't know. Tikka. In England they say tikki. It became famous in England. They're very popular. So, horrible. A horrible society. They don't think, why are they causing so much suffering? Well, suffering? We don't see them suffer, we just get the nice sensation on our tongue. So the whole society is operating on this principle of swart. That if someone is directly cheating someone or beating them for no apparent reason, you say, oh, that's very bad. But it's all going on in the background. They don't see, they don't care. There are quite a few verses in Bhagavatam which discuss this term, swart. I'll read a few of them. Please listen carefully. Okay, here we go. Nata paratarolo ke pungsa swarta Vyatikramaha. You heard the word swartha. Nata paratara loke pungsa. Swartha vyatikramaha. Yad adyanyasya prayas tvam atmanasva vyatikramat. And did you hear the word prayas came in that also? Prayas. Yad adhyanasya. Yad adhyanasya. I'll try and say it again. Yad adhyanyasya prayas tvam. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation, just unpacking it and putting it in very simple English, so it just hits us directly. There is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. So one's real self-realization is served if one understands that human life is meant for self-realization. But if one thinks that something is better than self-realization, then that is the greatest obstruction to one's real swart, one's real self-interest. So that's a very important verse. Then another one. These are all from the Bhagavatam. Yadā na pasyatyathā gunehāṁ swarte pramata sahasavi paschit gatasmriti vindati tatra tapan asadya maitunyam agaram agyaha. So this term maitunya agara, you may remember seeing that in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita commentary. This comes from this verse of Bhagavatam. And the translation is as follows. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time, being forgetful of his own interest, swartha, real swart. Real swart is not to have lots of money and lots of material enjoyment. Real swart is Vishnu, Shreya. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Yeah, it's very strong. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihamana Nirashishaha Yitu Ne Chantyapi Parang Te Swartha Kushala Smita. Srila Prabhupada's translation, only those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not even want liberation. Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. Here's another translation which incorporates the term swartha kushala, which means people who are expert in understanding and acting according to their real swart. Persons who are devoid of any extraneous desires and are engaged in the worship of the Supreme Lord for His pleasure only are the most intelligently selfish. So real selfishness means to act in a manner that one acts for the pleasure of Krishna. I'll get back to that later. It's a very, very important point that our real self-interest is in serving Krishna. We get the highest benefit we get not by acting in what we think is in terms of our benefit, but acting for Krishna's pleasure. Another translation of that verse, there's three translations here. This is Banu Swami's translation. Those who desiring only worship of the Supreme Lord and being without material desires do not even want liberation. Are considered expert in understanding swart, their highest benefit. So if you don't have material desires and you don't want liberation, then what's left for swart? What's in it for me? What do I get from it? The highest benefit is in serving Vishnu. Natevidu swardagatinhi Vishnu. Itavaneva loke smin pungsa swarta parasmitaha ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tadikshanam. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life, or it is the actual benefit for the living being, the swartha. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. So like this, putting one verse after another, side by side, about swartha. It's taken from 18,000 verses, but if you put one after the other, you see it becomes a very powerful message. And many acharyas do that. They take the subjects of Bhagavatam and group the verses together to see what is the message that Bhagavatam gives about a particular subject. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for instance, made his Bhagavad Arka Marichi Mala, in which he took various verses from Bhagavatam and grouped them in subject-wise. So it becomes a very powerful message that we can get. That doesn't it doesn't mean that we shouldn't read the Bhagavatam from beginning to end, but Bhagavatam is unlimited, like Krishna, so we can analyze in various ways and take various lessons from it. Ityetad atmana swaratang santang vismritya vaipuman vichitram asati dvete ghauram apnoti sangsmritim. In this way, the conditioned soul, living within the body, forgets his self-interest, swarta, because he identifies himself with the body. If we take the body to be the self, we take the bodily interest to be our real interest. But then we forget our real self-interest, because our real self is the atma. Because the body is material, his natural tendency is to be attracted by the varieties of the material world. Thus, the living entity suffers the miseries of material existence. We act for what we think is our benefit, but we end up suffering. We see it again and again and again and again. Therefore, we have to hear from Bhagavatam to understand reality as it actually is. Shreya, swartha, means Vishnu. Nanvadha mai kurvanti kushala swartha darshinaha ahaituk yavya vahitam ahaituk yavya vahitam bhaktim atna priyayata. Certainly, expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, Krishna says, for I am most dear to the soul. And I'll get back. Yeah, that's a very important point, which I'll come to a little later. Yadrichayan ritam prapya sukalpamiha durlabham swarte pramattasya vayo katang twan maya yeshvaraha. By good fortune, a soul may obtain a healthy human life, an opportunity rarely achieved. But if he is nonetheless deluded about what is best for him, O Lord, your illusory maya will cause him to waste his entire life. So the point here is that someone, by good fortune, you get a human life, but then we don't realize what we're supposed to be doing with it. What's the best use of our life? And then by maya, we waste our whole life. Then a fairly well-known verse from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam about Sankirtan. Kaling sabhajantyarya guna gya sarabhaginaha yatra sankirtananeva yatra sankirtan enaiva sarva swartho bhilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge and are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Important words here, arya, people who are interested in the higher values of life, gunagya, they can take the good quality of something. Sara bhagina, similar, they take the essence. So they worship Kali, they think Kali Yuga is very good. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, by the simple process of Sankirtan, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all one's swart is achieved. Abhilabhyate. By His grace it's achieved. So all one's real self-interest is achieved. And even materially, self-interest is achieved. If one has material desires, then Krishna may also fulfill. By this Sankirtan Yajna, then all desires, all needs are fulfilled. Then going on in the 11th canto, this word swarth comes up quite a lot in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Jnaninas tvaham eveshta swartho hetascha sammataha swargas chaiva pavargas cha nanyad artho madrite priyaha. For learned, self-realized philosophers, I am the only object of worship, Krishna says. The desired goal of life, the means for achieving that goal, and the settled conclusion of all knowledge. Indeed, because I am the cause of their happiness and their freedom from unhappiness, such learned souls have no effective purpose or dear object in life except me. Taya virahita sadho jantu shunyaya kalpate tatosya swartha vibhrangsho murchitasya mritasya cha. O saintly Uddhava, Krishna says, a person bereft of real intelligence is considered to have lost everything, deviated from the actual purpose of his life. Swartha vibhrama. He's bewildered about the real purpose of life. He becomes dull, just like a dead person. Ladva janmamara prartyang manushang tadvijagriyatam tad anadritya yeswartam gnanti yantya shubhangatim. It's very easy Sanskrit, if you see. Ladva, having achieved janma, a birth, amara pratyam, that which is desired or prayed for even by the demigods, the manusha janma, the human life, tad dvijagriyatam, speaking to the best of the twice born, especially if one can get the human life in the best, in a Brahmin situation. But nevertheless, if they tad anadritya, they fail to properly utilize their swartha, the real goal of life, then gnanti, they're killing themselves, and they go to the ashubha gati, they go to the inauspicious place. So, did you start this Tulsi Arti at 6:15, is it? 6:20. Okay. So I'll finish there now. And we can continue tomorrow. I should get you a printout of this. It'd be much easier for you if you're going to translate it. So we can continue this tomorrow. It does require to really tune in and listen, but it's a very important topic. How everyone is wasting their life not seeing the real goal of life, because they don't know that Shreya is Krishna. How people are wasting their life. And see how the Bhagavatam takes up this subject again and again and again. I've quoted a few verses in which the term swartha comes up. There are others also which, without using that term, they make the same point. For instance, we find in Rishabhdev's instructions, Nayam deha deha loke, Nayam deha deha loke, Nriloke, Kashtan kamanarhate virbhujam. The people are wasting their life, living like animals, for sense gratification. What should they really do? Tapo divyam. They should perform divine austerities. Putraka yena sattvam shudyat yasmad brahma sokyam tvanam tam. They should perform austerities by which they can attain divine, eternal, unlimited happiness. in human society, especially in Nriloke, Srila Prabhupada, according to this verse, Dayan Deha, Deha Bhajan, Nriloke, especially emphasized now in the human form of life, we have this opportunity. So without saying that, using the word Shreya or Swartha, the same point is made in many, many verses. Ladva sudur labamidam bahu sambhavante manusham artadam, artadam, again. Not swartha, but artadam, manusham, artadam, anityam, apihadhira turnam yatetan apatadanam rityayam, and nishrayasa vishakalu sarvatasyat. So nishraya. Here the word shreya comes. Nishraya means the highest. It's emphasizing the word shreya, the highest benefit. Human form of life attained after many births should be utilized for the highest good and not wasted in sense gratification, which is available in any form of life. So it's a short life, but we should utilize it properly. So Krishna willing, I'll continue to discuss these topics tomorrow morning about what is actual shreya. Yeah. Shreya and Praya, yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses that. How in the Upanishads there's a distinction between Shreya and Praya. But actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he is the acharya who has shown that Praya is Shreya. That what is in our ultimate self-interest, it's actually our immediate and ultimate, is bhakti, to do bhakti. So I don't know if he was referring to any particular writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, but that's the overall impression he gave, that there is no difference between praya and shreya. Immediate benefit is in bhakti. Praya also gives the idea sometimes of that which is priya, that which is, it seems very dear. Anyway, I'll get into that more tomorrow about that which is dear to us. Hare Krishna.